In metaphysical realms, Carolyn and Jay converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share, with intuition as their guiding cosmic flare. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl, metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Good morning. It's 5 a.m. What time is it? No, it's 7 a.m. Pacific, Monday, September 23rd. And we are Carolyn and Jay here with Metaphysical Conversations. And it is 14 weeks until the new year. Can you believe it? Good morning, Jay. How are you doing?
Good morning, Carolyn and everyone. I know I can't believe it. It's gone by fast.
14 weeks. I mean, come on. Wow. Yeah, it really has. So you can call in and join us in our conversation today if you'd like to by calling in on 857-232-0155. The number again is 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. You can also call us for an in-depth reading if you'd like, if you have a specific question about what's going on in a specific area. We would love to hear from you. And Jay, how do they get us if they're coming through the chat room?
They get us by going to 12radio.com and clicking on the chat button there on the left-hand side of the screen. That is the number 12radio.com, and that button will be right there on the left. It says chat. It does open up a new window, a private Facebook group window with the same name, 12radio. Send over your invitation. We'll get you approved while we're live on the air. And then you'll see our banner there at the top, and you'll be able to post your comment underneath in the comment section. And we'd love to hear from you. So, wow, I can't believe it's already Monday and we have 14 weeks left of the year. Oh my goodness. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I think maybe we should talk about common regrets. What do you think?
Common regrets. That's a great topic and yeah, something that I think we all face from time to time.
You know, if anyone wants to write their regret into the chat room too, let's talk about it. Let's see what yours is. I think one of the ones that you hear a lot about is just not traveling more. Just spending too much time, you know, doing your work and not traveling more. So I think that's kind of one that you hear a lot of. I wish I could travel more. So traveling.
Traveling. Now, when we talk about this, are we going to talk about ways to help work with that energy and help to possibly make different choices so that we don't regret them as part of our discussion? Are we going to go into that territory?
Why not? I agree, we should do that. And traveling more would be, maybe you would start to, put a pinpoint on the place in the United States or in the rest of the world where you really want to be and just start to visualize doing it, right?
Definitely.
What are some of your ideas for traveling more?
So for me, I used to be, and still kind of am one of those folks raising my hand like, I wish I could travel more. And honestly, meeting my partner, Alan, has really helped because he has his own little way of planning and making trips like that happen. And one of his ways is setting aside money every month in order to be able to pay for it. So that way it isn't like you have to come up with all the money to just go out of nowhere just because you want to go. But it's something that can be worked out every week or every month as you get paid. Set a little bit of that aside, so that way there's money to pay for that trip. And
you know, it's nice too, because
It's nice too because you hit on one of the things too that's great is that you have a partner, to
Yes.
do it with. And so a lot, so many of us are single, and you have to find somebody who's in the same place, that wants to really do what you want to do as well. Like mine would be to go to Ireland. I would like to go to Ireland. So yeah, but there's lots of little moving parts to make that happen.
It is very true. And I agree, having a partner in crime can help make that happen a little bit easier, a little bit quicker. But at the same time, it's still, it's the part I want to leave with you on what I mentioned is breaking it up into smaller pieces that are more digestible and then working at it from there. Because I know for myself, traveling personally, like I don't mind traveling alone. But I just never was able to get to the point where I would break it up and save over time. And so I never went because I just never saved and I never had the money. And I would complain about it, but I wasn't, doing my part to make sure that it happened. So I just wanted to mention that part because sometimes we can, get into this wishful thinking space that it's just gonna somehow magically come drop in our lap. And I, it could, I don't want to take that away from anybody, but more than likely, if it's going to happen, it's going to be because you planned it and because you made it happen, not because it suddenly just surprise happened. And again, I don't want to take the surprise trips away because they do happen. Sometimes we do get surprised. But
That's right, yeah.
we could be waiting for that for a long time versus working on making it happen. I just want to kind of give both sides of that equation.
You bet, yeah. It's neglecting your health is another thing people tend to regret, neglecting your health. Doing things that are not really good for your body maybe, or skydiving without a parachute, that kind of thing.
Oh
It's
my goodness. Yes, I mean, I laugh, but honestly, this is one that I have. This is one of the ones that the biggest issue for me because for some reason, taking care of myself is really, really difficult. And I have to really, it takes a lot of my effort to make sure that I get to doctor's appointments or even make them. Or stay on top of dealing with a situation like I have right now where I needed to get an appointment with a specialist and I had the referral, but they needed to change the referral code and dealing with them changing the code on one hand and still getting them to make the appointment. I mean, I've been dealing with one appointment for literally 6 months trying to get it made.
Oh my goodness, that's
And
awful.
so
Yeah.
partially my own issue not staying on top of it like I could. And the other part is just it's our system is kind of a little bit haywire in the medical industry, and it does require a lot of handholding if you want to get, something done. We got to be our own advocate, and that isn't always, we don't always have that energy for that, or we don't, we can tell ourselves, "Ugh, I don't want to deal with that today."
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it takes, a special kind of coffee in order to get through just making an appointment. So yeah, it really does. So
I just want to
here's another.
share, you're not alone out
Go
there
ahead.
if you're dealing with that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that it really is. It's so hard to. It's hard to stay on top of it sometimes, because we have our lives coming at us sometimes. We get so busy with things, and then we do neglect, and so, yeah,
We do. And honestly, to-do list is important in those situations because it can be the thing that helps us stay on track and remember like our priorities.
yep.
Just as a side note.
Okay, so here's another thing that we commonly regret, and that's staying in a toxic relationship.
Say that one more time.
One of the things that we commonly regret is staying in toxic relationships. And that could be a friend or a lover, both.
And I just saw like job relationships that could be.
And job. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and so you have to really look at that, whether whether it's, whether it is toxic, and if it is toxic, you run. So,
Well, yeah, because it's
yeah.
like sometimes we can be presented with things that are presented to us in a certain kind of way, and then we find out that it's not that way. Or we, as empaths, have a way of seeing people in their potential, even though that isn't necessarily, they're not necessarily living up to their potential, but we're seeing that person in their potential, and then we get upset when they don't actually live up to their potential.
And that's just it, Jay. Yeah, because a lot of people will say, "Oh, he used to be so great, and that the first year we were together, he was so great, And and now you're thinking, okay, he's gonna come back around because, but no, I feel like, if it's that bad after it starts getting really bad after that year, you have to reevaluate because they're probably not gonna head back to what it was like when you all had on your masks, because we tend to demask as we move along in a relationship. And sometimes it's not pretty.
It's true, and
Yeah.
we can get some shocks of our life because we don't
Yeah.
expect or don't anticipate that person showing up that way, or we see a whole lot of the side of them that's just like, who are you? I didn't even know you were in there, kind of a thing. But what we
Yeah,
have to ask too
yeah.
is like, what do we want to ignore when we were meeting them, so that way we didn't see that part. Because we wanted to like them, or we wanted it to work, and if we would have seen that, right at the beginning, we probably would have not gone any further. So part of it is looking at, like, honestly looking at our actions and choices, and why we might have decided to make them, and not holding that against ourselves, but being willing to just take a look at it.
And it's true, and you want to. This is one of the reasons why you don't want to just jump in and get married after 6 months, right? Because it's you really don't know the person, all of the different faces of the person, for in 6 months. You'll be you guys are still unfolding as a couple, right? So you need to really look at all aspects of. Because you're in with even the bad parts of the person, so you have to really know the bad parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. As hard as it is, even though we want to, I just see people turning their head, and we don't want to see certain things, but we're not really doing ourselves a favor if we turn our head to what is happening, because if we do put our head in the sand, for example, whenever we decide to pull our head back out of the sand, usually things are not, they're worse, they're not better. For sure, they're not better. They're usually worse, and every now and again, they might just be the same. But whatever that issue is still going to be there when we decide to come back up and look at it. And that's just one of those life things that better to face, personally, as far as how I see it personally, than trying to act like that part isn't actually happening, and then feeling surprised when we get burned, or when things don't go the way we thought.
Yeah, when actually deep down inside you knew damn well that something was up with it, and so it's you really have to really count on your gut feeling around some of these relationships that you have, because even though you're wanting to see the best, sometimes there's something in your gut that's telling you that it doesn't feel right, and that maybe you're not going to be able to change that person. So here's another thing too that we look at for common regrets, and that's looking back on how we could have apologized when we should have.
Yes. Well, and I feel like that goes both ways. Sometimes we can overly do that too
Yeah.
often, apologize for things that really aren't ours to apologize for, or the opposite, like you said, where we are so stubborn, or we're so like kind of seeing it from our perspective that we are not we've forgotten that that other person is a real person too, and they have feelings. And maybe if we saw it that way, we might then think about doing it a little bit differently if we consider their feelings and emotions, and that they are human and not a robot.
I agree. Yeah. Here's another thing too, is fearing failure, that's a regret. As a regret, fearing failure. So sometimes when we fear failure, we don't take the steps.
Well, and to your point, and this goes along with the last one as well, and we can force ourselves to make it work and then be like, well, I did everything I could. I don't know why it's not working. But I feel like we cannot be paying attention to the room, so to speak. Like, we are so hell-bent on getting our own way sometimes that we are not paying attention to the signs and signals and information that we could see that is coming from the other person, that's coming from our intuition, because we are like guns a-blazing. We're going to do what we're going to do because we think what we think, and that's it. You know, no, there's no bending, no listening, no openness. And I feel like to that point, we can either shut that down or we can go too far into that and we're too apologetic, too accepting, too, you know, it's the opposite where we're too accommodating to the other person in that situation.
I've seen that happen. Yeah. Yes, it can be really, you would definitely regret that. So, because you can hear yourself apologizing when you know sometimes that it's not something that you caused, perhaps, you know. And so, I mean, I've apologized for things that, you know, that I shouldn't have. I've done that before. Same. And so it doesn't feel good. I mean, it doesn't feel right. So not saying I love you enough is another one.
Yeah.
Another regret. Yeah. I mean, it is so important to, when you have somebody that you really love, even your parents, if your parents are still around, you know, or if, you know, it's anyone you love. I mean, just saying it because, you know, you may never see that person again, you know, and you have to be able to remember that you always said it because you felt it.
True. And I do feel like, especially if something is on your heart to speak and say, and then we don't, that's where the regret comes from, is because it was really on our heart and we really had something profound to say in the exchange of energy between that person. And then when we hold that back, that's what we are regretting in those moments. And so, you know, life is tricky. It can be really difficult sometimes, or a lot of times in the moment, to do what we want to do. And I feel like one of the things throughout this conversation to think about is like, how can you think about bringing baby steps in, like moving baby steps in the direction of some of these things, instead of feeling like you need to totally change the dynamics, because totally changing the dynamics might seem scary, or even like, I don't even know how to do that. But if you think about this from the standpoint of making baby steps, small changes, but being able to still speak up for yourself in the moment differently, you'll notice a big difference. You'll notice a big change.
I wonder if somebody who's able to say I love you frequently is also able to express their feelings frequently. So expressing feelings, not expressing feelings frequently might be another regret. And they might be, I wonder if they go hand in hand with being able to say, I love you enough. You know, is that the same person that's able to express their feelings often?
Well, to your point, I feel it's the kind of thing where that's one thing that I think people do regret, because it's like, well, we assume our partner knows, or we assume the other person knows some of the information. And then we get mad when they don't act like they know, and that we need to then inform them. We can get upset with that process. And it's like, but that's just part of life and making sure that both parties are aware, you know. And sometimes we need to ask questions. Sometimes we have to get more information. instead of make that snap judgment about like telling a story about why they're ignoring us or why they haven't said anything or why there's, you know, time has gone by and that amount of time wasn't supposed to go by, you know, all the things that can happen. But instead of getting immediately mad about it when it doesn't go your way or when it doesn't go as what was said it was going to go, and be willing to ask questions in that situation instead of make up a story about what you think has happened. And the story may be true, and I don't want to take that away from you, but part of the whole conversation today with regret is being able to not just necessarily go away with what we're swept away with doing. You know, I feel like sometimes we regret when we just go into autopilot. And so that's the reason why I mention it. Sometimes in order to go outside of our own autopilot, it's a matter of how do we strategically take baby steps to make different kinds of choices than we normally would make so we can get a different result.
Yeah. Yeah. Not overdoing it with not feeling, I guess, real with it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, but yeah, be real with what's happening or how you feel with how they feel and address it in the reality of it versus like, being hopeful it could be a different way or assuming that it's different because the other person should know this or that, but maybe they don't. Maybe they don't know this or that. And by you being mad that they don't know isn't solving the problem. It's like, how can you help them? How can you help them get that information so they can know? Kind of a thing.
Okay. Okay. So here's another one that we tend to do too, that we sometimes regret, and that is not forgiving others.
It's a toughie.
Because if you hold on to, you know, that stinker person, you know, that stinker person, I can't stand them, you know, and if you hold on to that, it's just, I mean, that alone, just saying those words, just, you know, it just keeps you in that mindset of hate, you know, non-care, non-compassion, it's just a feeling of hate. So when you say, I can't stand that person, and they were so awful.
Yeah. No, and
not forgiving others.
It's the kind of thing, like, I've looked at forgiveness a lot, and I agree. It's not just forgiving to like let some off the hook, and especially when it's something, some kind of terrible behavior, but it is being able to, in a sense, let ourselves off the hook and to not be carrying around that heavy burden of that action that happened against us or what that person did or how it went and holding on to it like we're carrying it around on our back. The forgiveness is about making our peace with it for ourselves, so that way we can move on. And it isn't about necessarily releasing them from that bad behavior, but it is putting it down. It is no longer carrying it around and walking around with it, the weight of it.
Not having that fire in your mind.
Right. Let me say hi here to some folks that are joining us in the comments.
Good.
We have Renee joining us. She says, good morning, Carolyn and Jay. It's great to see you, Renee. Hi.
Hi, Renee.
And we have B is joining us. Good morning, B.
Hi, B.
And Quelly. Hi, Quelly. She says, grand rising, hi, Jay, Quelly. Carolyn, and 1-2 family. So B has a regret. She says, the only regret I have is not being a better dog mom when I was younger, not really understanding my old pup's true needs. Making up for it a bit by doing for my new pups and giving myself grace. Yes.
Okay. So being a good pet parent, I regret not being a good pet parent when I was young. That's your regret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
but now you're doing it.
You're making up for, it sounds like you're making up for lost time and for anything that might've happened in the past.
That's right.
Lioness is joining us. Last but not least here. She says, blessings, Carolyn and Jay. Happy Monday.
Oh, happy Monday to you.
We're excited you're all here.
Oh, here's one. Here's one that we might tend to regret. Not standing up for yourself.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Because it's tricky. I feel like especially, I mean, for anyone that just has a hard time with that, but especially those that are empathic, because we can be so tuned to feeling other people, it could be really hard to feel ourselves. Or to distinguish the difference between our feelings and other people's feelings. And I feel like all that can make it complicated to do what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's almost the same thing too as, holding that thing in your mind about hating someone, for instance. If you stand up for yourself and really address the situation to the person that you have the issue with, your fire is going to be put out in your mind because you have stood up for yourself. You've spoken your piece in regard to it.
True that.
Yeah.
It does. It works.
Yep.
It absolutely does. And here's the thing. I think for those of us that are, one of the things that I'm seeing from myself in this conversation is those of us that want to be more passive, to be nice or to be agreeable, to fit in, whatever the reason, it's the kind of thing I feel like at the end of the day we can regret because it backfires. Like our intention to be agreeable or to let the other person have their way, it is a nice gesture. And every once in a while, it's great. But if we do it all the time, we're not really allowing that person to get to know who we are. And so when we do speak up for ourselves all of a sudden, or we do not, we're not, so agreeable, but we've been agreeable the whole time, it can be shocking to that other person because they're getting to know that they've been getting to know us and we've been showing them who we are by our actions. And so it's like if we look at it from that perspective, then it isn't so shocking to see that those people are surprised when we change, and vice versa. And that's why it's important to try to be our own, like to try our best to show up as we are. So there isn't these dynamic shifts in our personality.
Right. And it's not saying that you have to stand up for yourself by punching them in the face.
No.
It's by learning how to stand up for yourself, so that they can hear how it made you feel.
Exactly.
So it's really learning to, properly communicate. Oh, there's the word again, those feelings that you got going. This one, and what was another one that I had written down here? I never regretted not learning another language, but that is on the list, not learning a new language. And then another one is not learning to play an instrument. It's like I have played another instrument, but I've never learned another language other than Pig Latin and really haven't had any inkling to. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I agree with you in a certain kind of way. I did take 3 years of Spanish in high school and I got really proficient, but then I haven't really used it. So I'm not anymore. So I kind of wish I would have kept that going. And the same thing with an instrument or a sport like gymnastics or dance. I wish that I would have followed through, been able to take one and really learn the techniques, like take it into my adulthood. I do.
Yeah.
It would be nice if I would have that, but I don't. But I've thought about learning how to play guitar, and I still may do that, but I just haven't had the chance to, do it, to set aside the time. Like I even during the pandemic got a guitar at Costco, but never sat down to actually learn it. So one day I would like to.
I had a beautiful guitar and I finally sold it because it was staring at me and making noises at me. So I got rid of it. And then, I have a harp that looks at me every now and then because I haven't played it lately either. And, you know, but these things we do. And, and I'll get back to that harp eventually. But every time you pick that harp up, you have to tune it. And that takes some time before you can get it even into the enjoyment of actually playing it.
No, and that's the thing. It's like one of the things we have to remember is whether, you know, we might have been lucky to have a parent that was driving us when we were younger, but then once we become older, it's up to us to be the one to crack the whip, so to speak, and to make sure that we're doing it and getting it done. And sorry for the graphic reference there, but it is kind of like that energy of having to do that. And I've never really been that great at doing that for myself. I can do it really well for other people. I can do it really well if I am very inspired and I have a goal and I like it's very tangible and I know I can get it done and I can feel productive getting it done. In those situations, I can go for it. But that whole long-term day after day, week after week, year after year, we need to be working towards this thing. I haven't necessarily been the greatest.
So are you a cardinal sign by chance?
I no. Well, no, because Taurus is not a cardinal Taurus. Sign. Is it?
Oh, what is it?
It's
what is it?
Aren't we? Okay. Isn't cardinals the one that changed things, changed the sign, or changed the season?
Mutable. Or is that, I don't know, cardinal sign.
I'm not an official astrologer.
Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. So you're not, and you're what did you say you are?
I'm Taurus.
Yeah, so you're a fixed sign. And but I had heard that cardinal signs sometimes aren't not. You were speaking. The reason I would say this is because you were speaking about not being able to finish project type of things and get motivated sometimes, and that's kind of a cardinal trait apparently. I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I have that too, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I have that challenge of getting myself going.
How about neglecting friendships? Do we regret that? Neglecting friendships? Are there friendships that you've let go
that I think we can.
You wish you would still have around? Yeah.
Honestly, to me, it's been if anything has been confusing on my own personal journey, that's part of it. Friendships and people dynamics. Like how much is like in the back and forth or the connection. Like how to have a balanced friendship where both sides are getting met in the friendship. I usually in my past have gone way in and been a people pleaser. And so then when I shift, people get surprised because I have been such a people pleaser. And so I've had to learn and still learning how to show more of myself and also not be a people pleaser and to be able to speak up and let people know my preferences.
Yeah,
and
that's
stuff.
That's it. You're speaking up for yourself. Yeah, that's good.
But yes, I to your question, I in some ways regret it, but then I really don't. Like it's like I'm very grateful for the friends that I have had over my life, like currently and also the ones that are moved on. Or I moved on, and to me though it's very valuable. It's been super important each and every one of them, even when I was people pleasing. But at the same time, now that I am looking at it from a more balanced mind body spirit perspective, and where I am showing up more to be myself, that's a whole other kind of thing. It's a whole other kind of way to do it.
Sure, yeah. Here's one that I think that we've all done at some point or the other, and that's not taking time to enjoy life's simple pleasures. You know, walking out into a forest, you know, walking by a lake, you know, simple, the simplicity of just doing, you know, walking around the block. So, yeah.
And honestly,
simple pleasures.
They are worth doing, even though our brain can so easily say, oh, I don't have time for that. Or, oh, that's not going to be worth it. Whatever we tell ourselves to get out of it, But the truth is those things can really fill our tank. They can fill our gas tank up when we slow down and when we appreciate a really nice walk in nature or our neighborhood and get to appreciate some of the flowers and trees and some of the beautiful yards. Those kind of things, they seem like, oh, I don't have time for that, or it's not going to be worth it. Why bother? Kind of a thing. But it really does make a difference.
It's food for the mind. Yeah, it's food for the mind and your mindset in general. It helps smooth out your troubles so that you can feel better. You know, feel better about everything.
Totally. Well, and especially for those empaths out there, it's vital, especially if you don't have any kind of other kind of workout program that you're moving the energy in your body, walking outside, and especially in a natural environment, can be so healing to the empathic part of us, and it can really help us to move those energies through us so they're not getting hung up in our system.
Oh, that's right, and then what we will tend to do when we don't do things like that is we end up not really living in the moment, which is another thing that we can regret. So not living in the moment, not really, you know, thinking about, you know, that person I can't stand, you know, or, you know, re-evaluating how you did in the situation 10 years ago. So yes. Not living in the moment. Yeah.
Well, and I'm the first one. I mean, I used to be so hard on myself, and I would go back in time to infinitum if there was something for me to go beat myself up about. And I can say from my own experience with that, I'm the only one that I've had to, let me say it this way. I've had to learn how to get a hold of myself and stop that. And I can tell you that no one is going to come tell you, except for someone like Carolyn and I in a session, or like a therapist, or like some kind of mentor who's really good. You know, they might be able to be helpful to break that pattern. But at the end of the day, you're the one that has to break it and has to stop allowing your brain just to think that way and to kind of dominate. It's like part of it is the work that we all have to do to rein it in. And part of what Carolyn and I are talking about is reining in some of those parts of us that could be obsessive, that could be super angry. Like there might be some repressed anger or resentment that could be running the show. And it's up to us to see that and to figure that out and to be able to make adjustments. And so hopefully through our conversation here, we've given you some ways to break in and look at some of these thoughts differently so they don't have to be so heavy and overwhelming.
This next one too, I'm not really sure that I regret some of this, but not documenting moments through photographs or journals. Now, I think we've gone overboard sometimes with the iPhone, now the selfies and all about those. I think we've gone overboard. But when I reach back to like 1987, for instance, I wish I would have had more photos and journaling in regard to those years, because, you know, I was just having a blast and connecting with so many people that I don't even have photographs of.
I hear you. It's totally different now than it was then. And I agree. I feel like when I look back at pictures from the past, it's like I think about the kids now who have like infinite videos and pictures of themselves. They've been digitized. And we had
it's horrible.
A little bit of that. But nothing like that when we were younger.
Oh, now to start a new Facebook name, you know, if you have maybe more than one brand, now to start a Facebook brand, they want your photograph from every angle on a video.
Interesting.
Isn't that awful? And then so they can also compare your other, they can also compare, you know, from what IPN or what's it called?
The IP address.
Yeah, the IP address. If you're using the same IP address to get into the one brand Facebook, they can know that it's you and connect the dots.
Yeah, well, because I know on one hand it's because of what's going on with deep fakes and
I'm sure that's the reason.
But it's also compromising.
Makes you not,
It is compromising our privacy.
It really is. So that's a questionable one for regrets.
Well, and that's actually a great one to bring up right now, because I think that's a conundrum for all of us. Like, how much to participate in social media and how much to participate in our own real world, like the real world, not in our phone, but the ones where we actually are talking to a human in front of us or over the phone, where you can hear that person's voice. But I feel like we're at war, kind of like, with where do we spend our time with communication? And then are we, when it comes to looking at communication, are we just like going to new sources and only reading, taking it all in? Or are we investing our time in things that are more of like an exchange? And I think we all have to kind of take a look at that, because at the end of the day, all the social media networks and all the apps are all vying for our attention, and they are all set up to grab as much of our attention as we are willing to give, and then some. And so I do feel like it's up to us to be responsible and to keep an eye on that, because no one is going to come along and say, "Hey, you're on the internet too much," or, "Hey, you're like blowing your circuits because you're watching the news too much," or whatever. Like, it's just going to keep happening until you decide enough is enough. Let me do this
Yeah, take
differently.
unplug, literally unplug sometimes. So that comes
Seriously.
back to living in the moment and enjoying yourself. You can't like live off surfing. I mean, you can, but how well? Worrying too much about what others think is another regret. Worrying too
Ugh.
much about what others think.
That
And because
one's
it's none
hard.
like, it's like that one quote about it's not, I can't remember what the quote is, Jay, maybe you can help, about it's none of your business what other people think.
I don't know who said it, but I know that quote, and I agree now. I didn't agree before. The people pleaser in me and the one that was trying to be so accommodating, I was like, "Oh God, no, I can't, no." I just was like, "No." I was trying to override that. But it doesn't allow for balance. And I got angry and resentful because I then always had to be the one to connect or generate the energy in the relationship, or be the supportive one, because that's how I set it up. I set it up that way, and that.
That's right. That's how you set it up. And so it comes back to, that would be have a lot to do with if you're worrying too much about what others think, you're probably judging yourself really hard. So that would be another regret.
That's one thing I want to mention that my partner Alan taught me in my time with him, because he's very empathic as well, but he doesn't seem to be so like some of the pitfalls I'll say that I fall into with my empathic abilities, he doesn't. And I've been able to ask him questions about that, like how it is for him and how he handles it. And one of the things he mentioned to me with regards to other people was, "I just don't pay attention to that." Like, it's as if it's a radio channel and he just turns the station. He doesn't listen to that station. And I was like, at first I was just like, how is that even possible? Like, I can't un look. But then once I realized, well, like I can actually. It's so innately in me to look, that it was like it's something to not look. Like, it feels weird. But I was like, but I actually can see what he's saying. And so I've been
Good. So
pr
you kind
practicing
so
that,
you
and
learn from you
yeah.
learn from what you saw, and that's another way we can do it too, and how he was handling it. I love that. Not giving back or helping others is another one. So you regrets can be about not giving back or helping others.
Yes. Well, and I feel like with all these, this is a great conversation to talk about, because it can also help us see how far we've come, and then also see like where we can still work out balancing things out a little bit more. And it's fall. We just went into fall yesterday.
I know.
Libra
Happy
season,
fall.
the
Wow.
scales. And so it's another time to really look at how that balance is in our relationships or isn't. And if you're noticing that things are out of balance, this is a great place to look, because with the feelings of regret, Those are big feelings and emotions usually that are attached to them. So it's a great place to get cued into where you're at with things right now. And it, especially if you can do it without being judgy and judgmental and more like the observer. So that way you're able to really... sorry, I just got a text and I got a little sidetracked. So it looks like we might be getting some music coming through, and I don't know what's going on with our connection, but I guess it's coming in off and on.
The music?
Yeah, like we're having a little come through.
Is there anyone on the line right now?
Let's see. Oh, that might be what it is. I know sometimes we have a person waiting in the wings and we don't hear them, and then all of a sudden it's like, what is that noise? But I think there might be something maybe glitching.
How bizarre.
Okay, I don't hear it either. Okay. I don't see anyone on the line. But I'll do some investigating. I'll listen back to our episode and see what I hear.
What the heck that was? Not breaking bad habits sooner.
Not another regret habit sooner. Do you have a particular way that you address yourself or that you've learned to address yourself to be able to jump in there,
break a habit that you don't like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, simple one that I've always talked about, which is, you know, giving yourself a star on the calendar or on a whiteboard or anything like that. Once you get through the day without doing a particular thing or doing the thing that you wanted to get done, breaking a bad habit could be, you know, you could use the star on the calendar for that, you know, for making it through and giving yourself a little reward for getting it, for not doing it. So, yeah.
It is. It's like,
what about you? What about you, Jay? Yeah.
For me, it is looking at it from all these perspectives, like being able to really have a solid mental foundation is helpful for me to answer my own questions and for me to like pull in my intuitive information so that way I have like a firm foundation to move from. And then looking at what's the pattern, and then I will look at where I can either break in on one of the steps, or if I just need to totally change the circumstance, like it depends, but I will, you have to plan it out is another way that I would say it. It's like you have to plan what you're going to do, especially if it's like an addiction kind of a thing, with that time and energy. And then what is it going to transform into? So if it's like a negative habit, it's looking at that as like changing it out for a positive habit. So because that part of me is going to still be wanting to engage. And it's like, how can I engage with that part of me in a more productive, positive way versus the way that I have been? And so I like to look at it from all that, because that's helps my brain understand why. So that way I can, in a certain kind of way, coach myself through the change.
Right. So if it's a really bad habit, you would look at how you feel not doing it. From that perspective, you're saying,
yes.
Well, look, I made it through. I made it through all week last week, and I feel really better that I didn't do such and such. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
No. Okay. How about just?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. How about discovering? Or go ahead.
I was just gonna say I don't remember what I was gonna say. So. I was like, oops, like shoot,
I keep interrupting. I regret not remembering.
Exactly.
How do you fix that? Oh my God.
I know, right? I'm like, can somebody get me a new head, please? Thank you. I need to put an order in.
Pretty soon they're going to have AI though, and we'll just be able to like put a little button on our head that we can press when we don't remember something. So that'll be helpful. Sheldon, yes. I regret not remembering sometimes. Avoiding difficult conversations And that comes back to, you know, really speaking your truth, and standing up for yourself. Avoiding difficult conversations can be difficult for anyone, but you have to do it, because otherwise it's going to be that fire in your brain that's going to like burn you until you do it.
It's true. Here's what I've learned about this whole thing, and it goes back to that whole putting our head in the sand kind of a thing. The things that are hard for us, or seemingly hard for us, those things are going to be hard until we work that muscle to gain some kind of proficiency to be able to look at it differently, to do it differently. Like, that's going to be where we gain our strength. It's going to be like actively participating in the change, and also actively participating in our growth, in our workout, so to speak, to gain strength. That's part physical, and that's also part mental. And there's multiple facets of who we are and what make us be the humans that we show up to be. And there are certain qualities that are, we consider strengths, and then certain qualities we consider weaknesses. And we can just sit with that. We can just be with the way it is, or we can remember that we can change things as we go. And so in that, it's understanding that we can make those changes, but it isn't going to necessarily be like a light switch where I turn it on and turn it off, and where I change it from A to B. You know, sometimes things take a little bit more finesse and a little bit more time to change, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to change. We just have to have a little bit more patience in the process.
A patience, and then also to realizing what your strengths are, and will help you get there also. So another one that I'd written down here kind of goes with what you're saying, and that is not appreciating your own value or self-worth. So as you really start to really take time to say, hey, wait a minute, I really did a great job, I really do well with this, or I'm really great with that. If you start to really appreciate and evaluate yourself in a better light, you're going to get through all of these other issues a lot faster, because you're seeing yourself in a better light, literally.
True. It's true.
Yeah.
And it all starts from us. Like, we're the ones that it, we're the ones in the middle that are making the changes
we certainly are. Yeah. And we have to treat ourselves too when we do have a, you know, something, some achievement that we've made, we have to celebrate it, our milestones and our achievements, and because that will also help us to get through the rough spots, with, you know, and get through these regrets, you know, that we should take on, you know, what are we not doing? So celebrating the milestones as we get there is going to help with that too.
Pamela is joining us. She says, good morning, Pamela. Carolyn, Jay, and 1-2 crew. Horribly late. We'll have to listen to the replay. Subject sounds like you're singing my song. And so we do hope you're able to take a listen. And there was a comment about the fade out. Hopefully that was a temporary thing. It does happen every now and again. I will make sure I get that edited out if I catch anything for the replay. So we have a nice play.
Smooth show.
Yeah. But it is time for us to wrap it up.
I wanted to go into one more, but because not embracing spontaneity. And you know, that's kind of a two-edged sword, because there was a time when I embraced spontaneity too much. So I think that you've got to really look at that as well, you know, from all of the consequences if you choose. So anyway, that's it.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways we have to kind of, lots to consider. I'll say it that way. Lots to consider.
Yeah. You have to look at it from all angles. Well, Jay, where can we get you this week?
You can find me over on 12listen.com all week in the afternoons and evenings usually, and then I'm also here for my show The Psychic Playground on Wednesdays, and I have another interview style show with Raven on Thursdays called Backstage Pass, and we're going to be having Christina LaFrance come in because she's coming back to radio, so we're excited about that.
Oh good, okay. So and I'm going to be on from from 6:30 till 4:30 every day, and Pacific, and yeah, you can get both Jay and I by hitting the schedule call also if we don't happen to be on, and they'll try and get to you. So over on One to Listen, come over to One to Listen and talk with us. And Mark Husson is up next, and we have a really great lineup this morning, so stay tuned.
Okay, and give me one moment here, everybody. I'm trying to be all graceful, but I don't have our exit music out yet. So I need to get that.
Oh my goodness! Queued up.
Too many things going on over here in my what I want to call it, producer world. All right, we're almost there. Thank you, everybody, for being here, and it's been a pleasure talking to you, Carolyn.
You too.
I'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye.
In the mornings, gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight with Carolyn and Jay, conversation so bright in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.